What will it be like when Jesus comes? Well, there's a lot of information given us in the New Testament about what it will be like when Jesus comes, but in just a moment, we'll focus our attention on Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. So turn to Matthew chapter 25 in your Bibles, please, and we'll pick up there in just a moment. Most of you who were here this morning will recall we looked at Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, and the parable of the talents. When you look at Matthew chapter 25, think about these problems. Think about these sins in view of the fact that Jesus has come and that He's coming again. In the first parable, the parable of the virgins, the problem is unprepared, a lack of preparation, a lack of preparation. When you look at this, it's all about vigilance, being watchful, being ready. Because at a time we think not, the bridegroom returns. Then you look at the section we studied this morning, verses 14 through 30. And it is about diligence. If the first parable is about vigilance, the second parable is about diligence. And it's about what's unutilized. What's unutilized? The blessings and talent that God gives are unutilized by the man who buries his talent. Then you look tonight at verses 31 through 46. The word to emphasize is obedience. Obedience. And by that I'm referring to the humble, loving response to Jesus. Obedience. And the problem is unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness. Can He depend on us? You can take a look at Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, and it breaks down into three basic parts. First of all, there is a description of the one who is the judge. You will see that from verse 31 all the way through the context. But then you move on a little bit more, and you'll see the judgment on the righteous. And this will especially be verses 34 through 40, the judgment on the righteous. And then verses 41 through 46 will be the judgment on the unrighteous. The judgment on those to the right, the sheep, the judgment on those to the left, the goats. And I didn't mean to look one way and the other when I said that, all right? Let's look at this section of Scripture, and let's look first of all at how the judge is described. One of the things I often speak about in preaching and teaching is please look at what the passage says about God. And it's amazing all the things that are said about Christ in this particular passage. Notice first, from verse 31, He is described as the Son of Man. That has Old Testament overtones. As a matter of fact, Daniel 7, 13 and 14, where one like to the Son of Man goes into the presence of the Ancient of Days. Knowing what we know, that means the Son going into the presence of the Father. The Son of Man, Jesus, going into the presence of the Ancient of Days, the Father. And to this Son of Man was given dominion and power and a kingdom. Daniel 7 goes on to say, Son of Man was one of Jesus' favorite expressions for Himself. As a matter of fact, Matthew 20 and verse 28, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. It's interesting that in just a few days after what He has taught in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus will go to the cross. A very few days, like three. You look again, look at verse 32. In verse 32, you see that Jesus is spoken of as judge. While the term is not used in every version, it is in some. But the context shows Jesus as judge, and that the Father has committed judgment to the Son, John chapter 5, among other passages. He'll exercise judgment through the Son, the one that He has ordained. Acts 17, verses 30 through 32. At the time the Son of Man returns, at the time that He judges, He will separate all the nations. All the nations will be present. But He'll separate the sheep from the goats. Jesus is the great separator. You look, it says in the same passage, verse 32, it refers to Him as a shepherd. He will separate the sheep and the goats the way a shepherd might there in that part of the world. The separator, the judge, the shepherd. Look at verse 34. How is Jesus spoken of? He's spoken of as the King in this passage as well as verse 40. The King, Son of Man, a reference to His deity, a reference also to His humanity. The Judge, the Great Separator. That's Him, the Great Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. Notice verse 34. He refers to God as my Father, who is Jesus, Son of God. Son of God. Verse 37, Lord. Verse 40, our brother. There are no less than 8 different expressions being used in this section of Scripture, all speaking of Jesus. Think about who the judge is, and it gives you a lot of information about what the judgment will be like. Let's move on. Let's look for a few moments at verses 34 through 40 and the judgment on the righteous. The judgment on the righteous. Notice what is said. 4 observations concerning Christ's judgment on the righteous. First of all, the righteous will be invited home with Jesus. Isn't that rich? It says, come. Come. When He came to the earth, He says, come and I will give you rest. But here in this passage, He says, come and be with me in the place prepared for the righteous from the foundation of the world. So the first thing said, the first observation to note is that we will be invited home with Jesus. Here's a second observation. We will be praised, the righteous will be praised by the one worthy of all praise. Look at the passage. What is it that Jesus says to the righteous? He says, come, you blessed of my Father. See it? The one who's worthy of all blessing and praise is the one who speaks an encouraging word to us, the faithful. Third, observe this truth. The righteous will be royal heirs. The righteous will be royal heirs. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The righteous will be royal heirs. And then I really love verses 35 through 40. Whenever you've got sick and you visited me, naked you clothed me, in prison you visited, all of these things that we think about sometimes. The righteous will be glad that they lovingly served God. The righteous will be glad they lovingly served God. Those four observations are so hope-giving and strengthening. Now look at the next section. Look, if you will, at verses 41 through 46. Christ's judgment on those to His left. Christ's judgment on the goats. And let's just preface each one of these. I gave four observations. I'll give five observations here. And we'll begin, if I am lost. All right? We'll begin all five with if I am lost. If I am lost, I will never see Jesus or the redeemed again. If I am lost, I will never see Jesus or the redeemed again. What does Jesus say? What are His words to the unrighteous? Depart. Depart from me. Look at the passage. Secondly, if I am lost, I will be cursed by the God I failed. If I am lost, I will be cursed by the God I failed. Depart from me, you cursed. Or an expression like that. Think about how just a moment ago we talked about how the righteous will be praised by the one who is worthy of all praise. Well, think about here that the unrighteous will be cursed by the one who deserves all praise, all glory. Third, if I am lost, I will be in the worst of all company. Look at the passage. If I'm lost, I'll be in the worst of all company. It speaks of the eternal fire in verse 41. Prepared for the devil and his angels. I'll be in the worst of all possible company. More will be present, but we'll be in the presence of the devil and his angels. And this is a significant passage because it tells us that hell was initially created for the devil and his angels. But it is reserved also for the unfaithful and the disobedient. Number four. In Matthew chapter 25, if I am lost, I will be in this place with the devil and his angels, the disobedient and the unfaithful forever. Verse 41, eternal fire. Look at verse 46, eternal punishment. Eternal life. Keep in mind, this place is reserved for the devil and his angels, and it was so initially. You think about the rebellion of the devil and the angels. That rebellion has eternal consequences. And the same consequences apply to the unfaithful and disobedient. And the reason is not hard to figure out. Disobedience and unfaithfulness reek of the devil and the demons. Some people don't believe in eternal torment, but the same word eternal is used of eternal life in verse 46. Few people will say that the blessings and bliss of heaven aren't eternal, but more people will say that the eternality of soul of hell is not really true. What's good for one applies to the other. And in context that have to do with the end, let me ask you this. How long does God keep going? Forever. And life with God is forever because God is eternal, everlasting. Therefore, hell is everlasting, eternal as well. It's not a popular subject, but interestingly enough, nobody in all of Scripture teaches more about hell than Jesus. Number five, observe this. If I am lost, I will regret my failure to lovingly serve the Son of God. When did we see you in need and neglect you, in as much as you did it not to the least of these, my brethren, you did it not for me. In 3 days or so, he goes to the cross. What a way of speaking. How can any member of the body of Christ be indifferent to the second coming of Jesus? How can anyone who's thinking clearly be indifferent to Judgment Day coming? How can anybody be indifferent to a humble, loving response of obedience to the Son of God, who's our King? Thank you for listening. It's really all that I want to say. It's all that needs to be said. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, when Jesus comes, may we be found prepared, ready, and anxiously waiting. May we be wise, not foolish. Father, when Jesus returns, when He comes, may we have used His blessings and gifts and talents in a way that honors and praises Him. And may, by the grace and strength of God, those talents be doubled to His honor and glory. May we not be wicked and lazy. And Father, when Jesus returns, may we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May we hear, "Come, you blessed, enter in to the joys of the Lord, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And God, as we look at ourselves, may we see your will and see ourselves as we are. And if we are lost, if we are not right with you, may we respond to your precious will in faith and repentance and baptism, or may we respond to the precious will of God in repentance. Thank you for this great chapter. Thank you for Jesus being the master teacher.
We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, our King, Jesus. Amen. If you are subject to the gospel in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing?